You're listening to PodcastJuice.net.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's a special broadcast here. PodcastJuice.net, Michael Dean, Q Storm. We just had the Trayvon Martin trial. We've all heard about it. The verdict has come down. We've all heard the verdict. Not guilty. Cleared of all charges. Young man dead. You know, family. Family in mourning. I'll say country in mourning. So this will be a quick talk from the perspective of two African-American fathers and American citizens. Q, like, what were your reactions to the verdict?
Honestly, I wasn't surprised at all. I mean, that's the short answer. I was not surprised. And I'm trying to wrap my head around the fact that there are people, particularly on Facebook, Twitter, that are surprised. I mean, I could get into the heart of it as to that answer if you like, but, you know, maybe
we'll get to the heart of it. Yeah.
Okay. Well, at the beginning, when the whole thing first went down, I thought it was open and shut case. This guy was guilty. Okay. Based on the fact that the information that I had in front of me at the time was that he saw this young man in a hoodie. He wanted to follow him because I guess there had been a lot of break-ins in the neighborhood prior to this night. So he saw this black kid walking in his neighborhood. And he called in and said he was going to pursue and, I don't know the terminology, pursue and stop or whatever. And his people said, no, leave it to the police, you know. But he went ahead and engaged, and we know the rest. Okay. So to me, it was like, well, he got out of his car and he provoked the whole thing, all right? Then you see stories where NBC doctored the tapes to make Zimmerman look more. I'm not saying he's not a racist. Don't get me wrong, okay? Because I've been getting into trouble on Facebook all day today saying my opinion. But this is my opinion. I'm going to say it. I'm not saying he's not a racist, but NBC doctored the tapes to make him sound more racist, and they had to apologize for that. Then you had, I didn't see the whole testimony. You had this young woman, Rachel Gentile, get on the stand. And what I saw, you know, some of the things she said, some of her mannerisms, some of her behavior, I don't think she did the prosecution any favors. And then when I hear that they produced the defense produced one witness that said that from their window they saw Trayvon on top of George Zimmerman hitting him. And then you have another expert witness who knows how expert they are, but hey, this is the trial, saying that the trajectory of the bullet was such that Trayvon was on top of George Zimmerman. And I knew right then and there, okay, as much as it may suck, our system, our criminal justice system, court system, you have to prove reasonable doubt. And the prosecution already did that. Plus, you got the stand your ground law. So I don't know why everyone is so surprised. It's still shocking. But what's shocking is that this is how the law works in our country. But I'm not at all surprised at this verdict based on what I just said.
All right. I would say I was surprised. When I take a closer look at the situation and I look at all the laws and, you know, how they are determining the situation, I have a problem with the law there, the way they have it set up. Which I guess, if I'm understanding it right, says no matter how the situation came to be, if you feel like you are being threatened, then you can, you know, stand your ground. So I have a problem with that, because that sucks, because again, you could be sort of like Trayvon, an innocent guy, and circumstances can happen where maybe he was on the top of him, you know, punching him, whatever it may case may be. You know, they don't want to take into consideration why he got to that point. They just want to deal with, well, here's where he's at right now. And that, from my understanding, that would determine that, well, legally he's in his right to shoot him because he was in danger. So that sucks to me. But, you know, at the end of the day, I'm still surprised at the verdict, because I know a lot of times there's verdicts on things that, you know, it's like certain things you just like, they're not going to let that go by. I'm going to pull the race card for a second just to say that I think, in my honest opinion, if it was reversed, and it would have been if Zimmerman was a black person, man, and that was a young white kid, I'd be curious if he would have been found innocent. And he may have been found innocent, and it probably would have been just as much as a uproar, if not even more. And I still would have had a problem with that law, because as a father, just as a person, you don't ever want, you know, your kid or somebody you know to be in a situation like that, right? Where they're not doing nothing per se, and then things happen, they react, and their life is gone. You know, and I thought it was so crazy. I don't know if you've seen, you know, they've released the pictures of his body laying there on the ground. Like, that's very chilling to see that. And they showed that to the, and I, you know, hey, whatever you want to say, they showed that to the jury, and those women saw that and still took that and still did what they had to do. And maybe they're just going by the letter of the law, which is what they're supposed to do. You know? But I say this. I asked the question, what do we do? What do we do about this? You know, I'm not shocked that there's racism. I'm not shocked that if you want to think things are stacked against us unfairly or to a little bit. It's 2003. I've been alive 43 years. That doesn't surprise me. I know that. But the fact that it's gotten to this point where it's basically like you can just get gunned down because somebody was scared of you. They can approach you because they don't know who you are. They feel like you ain't supposed to be in this area. And they can come up to you and challenge you. And if you try to, defend yourself back, or maybe you're scared and you want to stand your ground, they can shoot you. You know, I'm being very simple. But you could actually get killed. And, you know, like I always say, you always got to pick your battles and, like, common sense. So you basically have to cow down because, again, Trayvon and them trying to get their justice after the fact. Like, he's already dead, right? And now this is shown to me, at least I think how people would take it, was like, well, really, they can shoot first and there won't be no justice later. Like, the justice, the law says, it's good. You know, they'll run you through the mud and then try and figure it out later, but you're not going to raise you from the dead. Let me just throw out some ideas and things and open it back up to you. Here's what I think that we have to start doing going forward. At least this is what I'm going to try and do, at least with my son.
Hey, Mike, can I just real quick?
Go ahead.
I'll just say that law, you know, it's not a national law. You know, it's
right.
Just,
I understand. Right.
Okay.
But it's a mindset. I think what is national is the lack of respect for a black life. And I'm not blaming white people for that. Actually, I'm not at all. I'm going to blame us. But here's what I say has to happen, so this won't happen again. we are going to have to get tough on us to the point where the national cultural outrage is going to have to be focused on places like Chicago, what they call Chirac, in different neighborhoods where there's multiple shootings and killings weekly. We're going to have to galvanize against that type of situation and start to turn things to a point where the respect that is shown from us will be so high that they'll know when they see a young black person, they can't be scared of us because they know, okay, they're at a higher standard. And that could take years for this to happen. But I think right now it is so corroded. So not only are other people so afraid of black people, or black people are so afraid of black people. So as quick as we would be to kill each other, or some other brother would be able to kill me, of course the neighborhood watch guy is ready to shoot. As he should be. Because he's sucked in reading and seeing all this stuff in the media just like I am. So I think we're going to have to, like, if we want to, and I say we, I'm really going to speak what I'm going to do, you know, for my son, is to instill that, no, we're not going to be a fool anymore. We're not going to condone foolish behavior, attitudes, mentalities. We're going to have to almost carry ourselves suit and tie. I was joking with my girlfriend. I said, you know, it may be the fact we may have to just be like suited and booted and strapped and open carry. So one, let me finish. One, you are seen as an upstanding business professional person. There's normally a lot of it is a look. If I'm in press slacks with the tie on, your first impulse is that I'm not about no bullshit. That's just in general. Now, secondly, if I come like that and I come as a proud American and say, I'm going to put the constitutional rights on my chest and it says that I can carry a weapon and be licensed legally as a citizen, and be professional, then that's two. That's 2 points that you can't fuck with. And I act professionally. So I'm going to let you know that one, professional, business. Two, I'm an American. I love the flag. Matter of fact, got it right here. And a matter of fact, just as how this country was founded, open carry strap. It's in the Constitution or whatever. So that lets you know, too, I'll stand my ground and I'm a professional. So that you almost got to force the respect. It's like you see the respect there, but then you see that show of force. It's, oh, shit. I don't understand how to react to that because he's not a thug. He's an American and he's professional and he's wearing the flag. And he's upholding his rights. I almost feel like that's the way it's got to be. Like, there's no other way because you can't be seen as weak. You don't want to show that you're threatening them. But at the same point, if I stand with the flag, I'm not. You're not a threat to United States values, are you? So I ain't no threat to you. But at the same point, you're not going to run over me. You're not going to shoot me down the street. Because I'm going to be just like you. I'm going to be standing ground. I'm going to be neighborhood watch. We'll watch our own neighborhood, just like he was watching his neighborhood. So at this time, we need to start watching. And again, when I say all this, I say this to say the first ones under the scope will be us by us, not us to nobody else. So that's when we first got to have to go Chirac, all them places. Okay. listen, we're going to neighborhood watch this bitch ourselves. And the first ones that get straightened out are y'all young folks. This is what we have to do. Otherwise, not only are we going to be killing ourselves from the inside, they'll be killing us from the out. Now, I said a lot. I know you got some thoughts.
Well, you've said everything that I have been saying to Facebook friends about how, you know, people are telling me, like, I had one guy, used to be, he's a friend, and he used to be a client. He was saying, you know, we need to teach our kids to carry guns wherever they go now. And I said to him, now he's an older gentleman, I think he's in his early 70s, late 60s. And I said to him, you know, that is no help. That doesn't help the situation at all. And we went back and forth. And I finally said, look, what I'm going to teach my children, he said something like, Mike, that's a shame that you say that because you have two kids. See, you bring my kids into it, you got a fight on your hands, okay? I said, look, what I want to teach my kids is to avoid the profile, okay? I'm not going to teach them to carry guns, avoid the profile. So what you said basically to me is when you say we need to police ourselves, I put that in the same category so that we agree with each other on that. Now, having said that, I want to play devil's advocate and say that, now I'm about to ask you a question. I'm not saying that I am taking this side, but I just want to hear your response. All I know is that Trayvon Martin had a can of tea, a bottle of tea, and some Skittles, and he wore a hoodie and jeans. Okay? So as we sit here talking about, well, we need to police ourselves, we need to stop the foolishness, so on and so forth, Trayvon Martin wasn't, in theory, doing anything foolish that night. Okay? So what I'm getting at is, what we're talking about would not necessarily have prevented what happened to him. Unless you look at the fact that, and I'm not trying to be blaming the victim here, you look at the fact that in court, they were able to show photos of Trayvon Martin holding guns, flashing gang signs, doing the whole gold teeth thing, and putting the stuff on his Facebook page. Now, does that mean he deserved to die? No. But I'm like you, and not going to give my kids, I'm going to teach my kids not to provide any possible prosecution ammunition, so that whether my kid is, God forbid, shot down like Trayvon was, or sitting in court being accused of whatever, they're not going to have any ammunition against my child. You know what I'm saying, Mike?
Yes. Were you going to ask me a question? You said you was going to ask my...
Well, you know what? I was going to ask you a question. I kind of preempted the answer, because the question was, you know, what was Trayvon doing that speaks to what we're talking about now in terms of stopping the foolishness, policing ourselves? He wasn't really doing anything foolish, as far as we know, this night.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. It's not about what he did. He was an innocent kid. I'm saying it was the fear that Zimmerman had of seeing a black youth wearing a hoodie or whatever he was wearing, that he was in an area where he didn't think he should have been.
Right.
So it was nothing he did. It was just that sort of climate, that whole thing, cloud over everybody is the problem. And my point is to say, all those things I said was to say, we have to do away with that sort of fear change the view. And to me, at this point, changing, it's going to take a while, but changing the view means, so going forward, a young Trayvon would be wearing suit and tie. I know it seems so extreme, but he would be dressed professionally, not wearing the, you know, as D-Bert would say, the uniform that they've associated with us as thugs. So you're not wearing the uniform. And at the same point, when you see, oh, he's not like that, because again, it's all about what you see. Second point is he's wearing the flag just as Zimmerman was wearing the flag to have his gun to say, oh, wait a minute. He is professional and he's one of the others. He is, you know what I mean? He's this other sort of black guy. Like, he is an American citizen holding his rights and he's professional. Let me pause. So he would, in my opinion, that would make give him thought to think, you know what? She just told me not to go out there. Yeah, he's not one of them. Because I already see he's just like if he was a grown man walking out there, if it was a white man, he would have paused. He would, oh, yeah, of course, he's supposed to be here or he's not a thug. You know, he would pause on that. And that's what I'm saying. We have to show them pause. So, again, because if we can continue to be Trayvon's, and Trayvon did nothing wrong, but Trayvon's will continue to get gunned down in this climate.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I'm sad, because he's not doing anything wrong. It's not necessarily, you know, all those things you talk that, you know, they showed in the court, and they had nothing to do. Zimmerman never saw any of that. So it had nothing to do with him shooting him, right? It was more of, in his mind, what his perception of young black people was.
But right, and what I brought all that stuff up to say,
irregardless of all those things that they brought in the court, the law dictates that he's going to walk, because the law says he is within his rights to do what he did based off of the situation, not based off of the history of the person. So them trying to slander Zimmerman as a racist ain't got shit to do with it per se. Him trying to slander Trayvon as a thug really ain't got none of the laws is, you know, spells it straight out. Did he think his life was in jeopardy? Yep. And can he shoot him? Says you can shoot him? Yep. Okay. Well, he's walked.
Well, what I'm suggesting is that if Trayvon had made different choices, and again, whatever I say is going to sound like I'm blaming the victim, and I'm not. But what I'm saying is if Trayvon had perhaps made different choices, there's a chance that the jury would have seen that Trayvon was a kid who didn't glorify or glamorize that thug life, and it may have swayed them, like you're saying.
But if it did sway them, then they would have been out of order of the law. That's why I said it could have been reversed, and it should have been the same exact verdict, because the law says if you feel like your life is in jeopardy, irregardless of how you got to that point, you can do what you did. That's why I said it is really mad. I'm not really tripping off of the verdict, and since I'm talking about what leads up to get to the point where you have to have a trial to begin with. Because all that stuff they introduced about Trayvon and the girl and all that, that ain't got really nothing to do with, ultimately, in my opinion, what they judged it by. Because the law says plainly what it is. Well, so you had to let him walk.
I don't assume that, because I mean you have a stand your ground law. That just means just because you have a stand your ground law doesn't mean you're not going to have to go to jail and prove that you are within the bounds of that law to walk.
Right, and that's what they did. I'm just saying though, them trying to say he smoked weed. Okay, so they're trying to make him to be out a thug. But even if I'm saying, even if he was a thug, still should walk anyway. Even if he's not a thug, he should walk because of a fucked up law.
I know, but Mike, what I'm saying is that, and again, I'm not necessarily disagreeing with you. What I'm trying to say is, if they had showed pictures of Trayvon at what he was 17, if they showed pictures of Trayvon at 17 with his, you know, National Honor Society certificate. His report card of straight A's.
Sure.
That could have been influential to the jury as to the type of person Trayvon was.
I agree, but they're not. And I'm assuming the judge of his type of person. At the end of the day, he's that kind of guy. Okay. Now, what does the law say?
Well, what I'm saying, the law says you have.
The law says you got to write this. So, irregardless of what kind of person he was, did right. Zimmerman feel like he was being threatened? Because he didn't know any of those thoughts. He didn't know any of those things about Trayvon. So he couldn't judge him by any of those things.
Right.
So if it did sway the jury, then they would have been out of order because they would be getting away from what the law says.
But Mike, again, you have to prove that you felt like you were, you had to prove that you felt like your life was in danger, right? And what I'm saying is the defense would use all of that evidence to say this kid would never have presented himself to a threat to anyone. And we could tell you why, because, you know, he's this, he's that, upstanding citizen in the school, upstanding citizen in his neighborhood. That's what I'm saying. Those all do come into play in either presenting or prosecuting or defending a case.
I agree. But again, like you said, the expert witness said, is he on top of him? Is he beating him up? Okay. So they don't care how he got there. So he felt like he was scared because the guy was beating him up. So he shot him. Right. But the law says he can get away with that. That's what I'm saying. So irregardless, the guy said he was on top of him fighting him. Maybe not because he was a thug fighting him. He could have been a good kid. Or maybe he wasn't, but he was still on top of him fighting him. So the law said he can get away with it. So even if they were swayed, at the end of the day, I'm just saying, the guy said, how was his stance? What was going on? I think that's what they ended up judging it by. I don't agree with it. I think it sucks. That law sucks. And I think we're saying the same things. Again, he didn't do anything wrong. And I'm not really going in to, yeah, he could have made different choices. So could Zimmerman. The end of the day is, I'm talking about going forward, the choices that we have to make. And to me, that's where I feel like it's at that level, because you're literally could get shot. So, I mean, you have to get drastic almost, because these are kids. It'd be different if it was a grown man or something. You could say, well, a grown man can do this or this and that. I mean, he's a kid and he's in danger because of not what he's doing, but the perception of him. So he could be a great kid. They will never know that at that particular moment. So I'm talking about changing the climate of how they perceive us. And I think that can only be started until we change internally what we put out, so that we're not scared of each other. Therefore, they won't be scared either. And then if they are still scared of us at that point, well, at least we are standing tall as professional American citizens, bearing our rights, just as he fell back and bailed on his rights, then we can bear rights together. At least it'd be equal. But we're not going to just get shot down. The point of the weakness, and, you know, and I'm not saying it's weak, but at a certain point, is enough. Like, okay, well, that didn't work. You can try this way and see if that works. I think we should go this way. And it's a way of doing it. We ain't going to be threatening. You ain't going to be talking crazy. You can be totally respectful, just as a soldier is totally respectful. And we champion the soldier. We champion the gun. Right? We champion that. Yeah. We champion the soldier for the gun. We just don't champion you to have one. And that's some kind of messed up ideology. Now, again, if you're in a situation where there ain't no problems, then you don't have to have one. Maybe you don't need it. But when you're on the other side of it consistently, you might want to rethink that situation a little bit and say, how is it working out for you? Right? Don't let the situation got you so think. I'm not talking about you personally. I'm just saying, when you think, well, it's okay for them to have the weapons and to have the rights that we all have. It's okay for them to exercise it. It's just okay for us to look at it. Well, we've said it's okay for all of us, but there's a stigma that we really shouldn't really be doing that. Well, but we would rather have them govern us that way.
Well, I'm just saying, I agree with what you said. I just think that I'm not certain that we would expect the same outcome. I'm saying that if the black community, if we were to straighten up all the things that are causing us grief, if we were to examine, take care of all our dirty laundry, you know, change our attitudes, change a lot of things about us that are causing us strife right now.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm suggesting is that I don't necessarily think that that would have prevented Trayvon from being killed. But what I am saying is that it may have prevented George Zimmerman from walking free.
Yeah.
And I'm saying that because, you know, we don't know what happened, man. That's the thing. I mean, there's evidence that some people are trying to say that Trayvon, after Zimmerman, maybe Zimmerman stood down, but Trayvon was upset that he was profiled and felt humiliated. So he attacked Zimmerman because of that. And then Zimmerman shot back. If that's true, I don't know. If that's true, I would say that's where what you're saying, what I'm saying comes into play. We have to teach our kids how to handle those situations, not to let emotions get in the way so that you end up shot dead by someone who has a gun.
Hey, I agree. You know, at the same point, you can choose to be ruled over or you can rule yourself. You will bow down if you on the other side, which is what we normally do. And you make choice. You'll not let your emotions. You will have no choice about to not let your emotions dictate your actions because you will get shot down. And typically, when you're in that sort of a other side of the gun per se, you better do that. I say we should all should take a lead and an example of how the United States governs itself. We should strive to be the same way. That's what I say.
Okay.
I guarantee you America ain't gonna never put that bad boy down. And you shouldn't either. Because how does it work for America? It works. You wouldn't be here if it didn't work. Neither would I. And we support that every day. And we pay into it every day. So we should probably live that way.
Now, just to be clear, what way are you talking about? And I'm starting to get a different message.
I'm being me. Listen, the way our country stands strong, we stand strong with the finger firmly planted on the trigger and that muzzle pointed at the sky. That's how we do. That's why we are the dominant force. We don't put the gun to the side, or we don't put the gun down and put it away at all and just let y'all run. Y'all have the stuff and then we follow the directions. No. We rule strong. And I'm just saying, I think that mentality needs to be held by the people. And I'm not saying being disrespectful. I'm not saying being a criminal or being negative, but to show strongness and strength. That is an example that we show as a country. So I say maybe we should show that as individuals.
Now, are you saying with a gun or with a weapon?
I'm saying in whatever application applicable that puts you in a position of power. Again, on a literal sense, this country holds it by the gun. Now, you could take that, if that's what you want to take it to understand that and follow that example, you can. This country does say you have the right to do it that way if you choose, and it's not illegal. There's nothing bad about that. But I'm saying definitely take example from what works. And what works is that the United States is the greatest, quote unquote, greatest country and strongest country in the world, and is a dominator. And it's a dominator for very particular reasons. And it's not because they show weakness. And they don't let people run over. So I'm saying we need to follow suit.
Who's the we, Mike?
The American people and black people. You need to follow your leadership. Leadership is sets an example for you. Who's president of the United States? President Obama leads by strength. He's not weak. He has the troops, he has a military, they have economic power. They don't let nobody come in there and have any higher thing over them. Never. They don't say, you know what, other country, you can have the guns. We're going to put the guns down, but you can have them. Because everybody shouldn't have them. No, they say, we going to have them. Matter of fact, you can't have them.
But we
run strong. And that's how we support our country, by paying into that system, right? We support it. We've always supported it. So we should live by example.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, but you got...
You don't think we should live by example? Of our leadership?
I don't know what that means. I honestly don't know what that means.
I just gave you some examples.
I can infer what it means.
I gave you some examples.
You said America is strong, they're not weak, they're dominant, and then you said there's a way that they became that way, and so it sounds like to me you're saying we should take up arms.
Well, on some level you should. I mean, it's your right. It's not a bad thing to take up arms.
Well, that's not... Well, I
mean, we take up arms, don't we? Don't America take up arms?
No, they do. I'm not debating that. I'm saying, is that what you're saying that our black youth should do to avoid what happened to Trayvon?
Would it be a bad thing? You make it sound as if it'd be worse or something. I mean, why would it be bad?
Why would it be bad for...
Again, I'm saying being positive... Showing strength, just like a soldier. A soldier takes up arms. Most of those soldiers are kids.
So you're saying that
most of these off the grid young men have arms already? But go ahead.
I just want to be Mike. I'm not debating. I'm just trying to understand. I may debate you after I understand what you're saying.
Okay.
But are you saying that our black youth mm-hmm. should be armed because? To follow the model of America?
Specifically black youth, yes. Why not follow leadership?
So 17-year-olds should be strapped?
If it's legal where they live and they have the right as an American citizen, why shouldn't it be? Follow leadership. You never go wrong following leadership.
Well, that wouldn't be my answer.
Okay, you ask me. I'm just saying. I say normally when you're in a situation where there's leadership and it's good leadership, you usually will be successful if you follow the lead of what's in front of you and what you give your life to. So if you give, you know, you pledge allegiance, you give your life, you pay into this, we support this system, why wouldn't you follow the lead of what you live by? I don't really understand the problem. Now, I'm not talking about illegal activity. I'm talking about American citizens following the rights that are given to them. There's nothing wrong with that.
Perhaps there's not. I'm just saying, I'm talking about Trayvon Martin now. And if you're saying that
if he was legal for Trayvon Martin to carry a gun and he wanted to, I have no problem with that. That's a legal right. You don't have a problem standing. Somebody got standing their ground. You know, he's holding up his legal rights.
Here's what I'm saying. If Trayvon, and I said the same thing to my friend I told you about on Facebook, who said that Trayvon Martin should have had a gun.
Are you talking about Mr. West?
No, it wasn't him. I told him if Trayvon Martin had a gun that night, the only difference is that he'd still be dead, and the trial would have gone a lot faster.
Well, you don't know that. You're blowing the point up that maybe the other guy would have been dead too, possibly.
Let's examine that. Let's say Trayvon has shot George Zimmerman.
Right. Let's say he stood his ground and shot him. Go ahead.
Do you really think it would have gone good for Trayvon?
If he had stood his ground and shot that guy?
Yeah.
I would say about it just as good as it is for Zimmerman. And is it good for Zimmerman? No.
I say to you that Trayvon Martin would either have gotten a death penalty or he'd be just like that woman I'm reading about who shot a gun in the air to prevent her ex from attacking her and has sentenced to 20 years.
And she used the stand your ground? Was that in that area where she's at?
I believe her attorneys did use stand your ground, but she still lost.
Well, all I can do is go by the court example that we just saw. And in this situation, he was innocent. So I would assume the same situation would happen if they both stood their ground. They would be innocent. They might both be dead. But if they felt threatened and he was a legal carrier of the gun, I don't see what the problem was. I don't see why it would be any different than if Zimmerman felt threatened and he legally had a gun and he shot it.
You may think that, but I've just gave you a case where it was different and maybe had to do with skin color. That's why it's different.
So you think it's racist?
I think that's the whole outcry about this whole trial.
No, I'm asking you the outcome and the reason why this trial was decided in the way it was racist. Is that what you're saying? Because you said it'd be different if it was Trayvon?
I'm saying if Trayvon had a gun that night and he had shot George Zimmerman.
Right.
Using
the exact same defense that Zimmerman did. Why would you think that he would be different for him?
Because in that case, I think race would come into it.
So you don't think race came into it this time?
I believe to a certain degree, yes, because of that case I just cited to you.
No, but we're talking about this case. Not that other one. I'm saying this case, was there race involved in this?
Yes.
And so you think it would be racist against Trayvon if he did the exact same thing?
Yes.
Okay, with that said, then what do you do?
What do I do?
Because both ways you just said the kid's going to die regardless.
I'll tell you. I think that's a case where I'm going to say it, fate or whatever already have played a bad hand to Trayvon. Now, I don't know, again, I don't know if what Trayvon did, I don't know how it went, but I'm assuming that George got out of his car, even though his commanding officer told him to stand down, and approached Trayvon. And then I said before in this conversation, I don't know that, if we assume that Trayvon ended up on top of George Zimmerman hitting him, it could be assumed that Trayvon, I'm not saying he was right or wrong, but that he maybe he got offended, got angry that he had been profiled. He was like, I have every right to walk these streets just like anyone else. And he does. But he got into a fight with Zimmerman and Zimmerman shot him. So what I'm saying is Trayvon was in the wrong place at the wrong time. And like a lot of our youth today, maybe he didn't want to lose face. And that's tragic because it cost him his life.
And that's maybe. Assumption again.
So
again, but the original conversation was if he had a gun. And I'm going to throw in,
I didn't finish what I'm saying.
Okay.
So you asked me, what would I do, right? I believe you asked me, what would you do?
So again, what do you do? Because both ways,
I'm gonna tell you, Mike.
Gonna die the way you say it. So I'm saying, does he go down and just get gunned down, or do you at least put up a fight? Because you have a right to put up a fight. That's how he even won. It was the right to put the fight up.
I'm gonna tell you what I would do, or I would tell you what I would tell my children to do. I would tell my children, you have really no reason to be going out that late at night to get Skittles and a tea. That's what I would do.
Okay. Again, that's fine, but that keeps you in that sort of, you know, you must stay at home sort of thing. And it's not like he's in a bad neighborhood, or you have.
What do you mean the bad seat?
It's not it's not necessarily a bad neighborhood. It was a neighborhood where they don't expect to see black people at. But that'd be a neighborhood where you live. So you would rather be live in a situation where you can't even go outside your house to the store for fear that you would get gunned down. And I'm saying that's not acceptable.
Mike, what I'm saying is that even in my neighborhood, I've lived here for about 4 years now,
mm-hmm.
and there are stores, well, they're not really, I mean, you could walk it, but you wouldn't want to, but let's assume they're walking distance. I would not have my kids walking out in the middle of the night. What was it, 10 o'clock this happened, something like that? I wouldn't have my kids walking out at night at 10 o'clock down to the store.
How old was Trayvon Martin?
He was 17.
So he's 17 years old. He has a car. He can be driving. Now, I was 17. Excuse me. I was 17, 16. I had my car.
Right.
I was driving.
Right.
I was out at 10 o'clock at night. You could be coming home from a movie. A movie usually just starts at 7.
You in a car.
Right. But the fact is, I could be at a car at the corner store, or I could park down the street. I'm just saying, I was out at 10 o'clock at night as a 17-year-old person.
But there's a big difference there.
What's the difference? I was actually even younger.
You're in a... Mike.
No, I'm saying I was not always in a car. I'm just saying
at
16, I had a car. I'm not saying I was out in a car. I'm just saying I had a car at that point, irregardless of the fact that I'm still outside at 16 and it's 10 o'clock at night in the neighborhood that I live in.
Bottom line, are you walking the streets at night?
Consistently? No.
But he's walking
one night. So again, you're talking about, are you either just saying you can't walk the street at night ever, or can you sometime walk to the fact that you are implying that not even being able to walk to the store, I say that I have a problem with that because you should be able to walk to the store. Now, it's a sad place in our country that we would have to tell our children that you can't do that for fear that you would get gunned down. And I'm not trying to prove a point. The point would be, yes, you're right to say that to your child.
Go ahead. To me, and again, I know no matter what I say, I'm going to sound like I'm blaming Trayvon, and I'm not. I'm sorry if you feel that way. This is what I'm going to say. To me, there are a lot of things you should be able to do, but this is a fucked up world. Now, let me get this out. Under no circumstances would I go to an area that I'm not that familiar with, I don't care how old I am, and be walking the streets at night at 10 o'clock in an unfamiliar neighborhood because I don't know what's going to pop off.
But he's not unfamiliar. That's where his dad lives. That's to say he's unfamiliar being at his dad's house, and we know that's not true, right?
Okay, well, I don't know. I didn't know that fact. I was not aware that he... It was my understanding that he was visiting his dad, but not that he was that he was there very frequently. I don't know.
Again, maybe he goes in his dad's on the weekend's house, but that's his dad's house.
I understand, but again,
so it's not an unfamiliar thing.
But I guess what I'm saying, I also said even in my own neighborhood, I would not be walking the streets at 10 o'clock at night.
Okay, and that's a thing for your neighborhood, and that's sad that that is the case. I'm just saying that we should be able to walk. So there's a difference. Okay, yeah, so there's a lot of crime in this area.
Central Park joggers should have been able to jog in Central Park at night without being killed.
But the killers don't go free, so that's a whole different argument. I'm saying that you're in a place where you're supposed to be And when things do happen to you, the other side is held accountable. So that's the problem. The thing is, and we're saying the same thing.
We're talking about two different things. We're talking about, one, should Trayvon Martin have been killed? No. Two, should George Zimmerman have gone free?
Well, yes, according to the law. According to the law, yes.
The law says yes, okay? So I'm talking about, forget about getting to the trial. I'm talking about keeping the kids alive.
Right. Well, that's what we've always been talking about.
And so what I'm saying is, you were saying 15 minutes ago, we have to examine ourselves. We have to change the paradigm. Part of that is, if you don't need to be out in the streets, and this is something that our parents, the previous generation of our black community, they would say this all the time. When the street lights come on, get your ass in the house. That was in your neighborhood.
So why are you right, talking? But why this is different to me. This is different to me because
why am I crazy for saying
I'm not talking about that. I agree with what you're saying, but I'm saying to be able to walk to a store in your own neighborhood, 10 o'clock right. at night, 9:30, you should be able to do that. You should be able to do that without fear of being gunned down. Now,
I don't know why it matters if it's your neighborhood or someone else's neighborhood. I don't understand that.
Well, really, it shouldn't matter at all. You should be able to do that.
You don't know who is going to be in your neighborhood. Strangers coming
Certainly.
To your neighborhood.
You can, well, again, you could argue about, you can not be on the street during the daytime if you don't know what your surroundings. The point is, you should be able to be out in the street. He's not out in the streets. He went to the store once and lost his life. Now, I'm originally going back to the original thing is, to say that if he would have had a gun, and I'm saying if he had been open carry, I don't know if open carry is allowed in that place. It is allowed here in Washington State, and people do it. I would imagine that Mr. Zimmerman would have thought twice if he'd have saw a person open carried. He would not have just ran up on, you're not going to run up on nobody with the gun, even if you got a gun. You're going to think twice. That's all I'm saying.
I disagree wholeheartedly.
You think he would just run up on him then, and he know he got a gun?
I'm not saying he would run up on him. I'm saying he probably still would have approached him.
He may have approached him, but he would have came at him totally different. Because common sense, that's all I'm saying. To give that pause. That's all I'm saying.
Mike, listen. That doesn't mean that the outcome would not still
be. I didn't say the outcome would be different. I said he would give that pause, and that's all I'm saying. I didn't say it would be different. I said they could be both dead possibly. But at the end of the day, he would pause and think that, you know what? I have to approach this person different. And that's the whole point I made from the beginning of this conversation when I said from the dress, you would give pause because I don't look the profile. And two, I'm an American citizen with the flag. Open carrying by my right would give you second pause. And I don't know no person who would run up on anybody carrying an open carry. I see people at the mall with open carry. I'm not going to run up on them. I don't care black or white or not. They'll gun you down.
What do you mean by run up on?
That means if I see him and I got issue or I don't think they're supposed to be, I'm not going to just run up to them. Hey, that dude's got a gun.
We don't know that George Zimmerman did that in this case. In the actual
I didn't
case.
Say, I'm saying he would give pause. I don't. I'm not arguing what he did or didn't do. I'm just saying I know if he saw a gun, most people would give pause. I don't know nobody who would approach anybody that has a gun and not think about, well, wait a minute, let me think about the situation first because I know that this guy could fight back. And I'm just going by an example that I see here in the state of Washington. When you be going at the shopping mall and these cats that got the holster with the gun, trust me, you're going to instinctively, you might give them a little wider breath. You're like, yeah. Some people are nervous around guns in general. So right. I know if you see it, you're not going to just be, fuck this. You're going to think. That's all I'm saying. You're going to think.
Right. You're saying, okay, so your point is.
I made Zimmerman my point. Here my point was.
You're saying that George Zimmerman would have paused. Wonderful. That's great. He would have paused.
And would have had time to think.
He would have been even more. Inside it, seeing a black youth with a gun.
And that would have been his own situation. And then it may have been the same outcome. I didn't say the outcome would be different, but I guarantee, the point is that it gave him some pause. The point would be, why don't you just wear the pants sagging if it don't matter? I'm saying you got to give people's situation that, oh, okay, he ain't like that. Or no, this situation isn't just what I thought it would be.
Well, I'm not trying to teach my kids what to do just so it gives another man pause. I'm trying to teach my kids.
Well, you teach them how to dress. You teach them not to wear a sag. Why would you teach them?
No, Mike. Mike, you're not letting me finish, brother.
I'm not.
What I'm saying is, you have taken the last 5 minutes to prove to me that George Zimmerman would have paused. Big deal is what I'm saying. The end was.
Well, you don't know if the end would be the same. Neither one of us do. We're both making assumptions there. That's a fact.
Of course we are. But what I'm saying is, if you're arguing a point while Trayvon having a gun would have paused George Zimmerman, that is not an argument to me. It just means that.
Oh, I wasn't arguing. I was just saying. I said a fact. I said a fact was he would get paused. That's not an argument.
I understand, but that, I don't see the point in making that pointing out that fact. It does not necessarily change.
Well, again, we don't know that. You don't necessarily know that. No, you can't tell me. I couldn't tell you. We don't know that.
If Trayvon had had a gun,
you don't know what would have happened
tragically, and Trayvon would have been painted.
It possibly could have, but
you would have been painted as even more of a danger.
It might have, but you will admit when you're done that we both don't know.
Well, I think I do know, given the facts of what came with this trial.
The assumption of based off of facts is an assumption, and I'm just saying we can both agree that we don't know.
Mike, let me just ask you this.
Do you agree on that? Do you agree?
Let me ask you this question first.
No, but do you agree? We don't know, right?
Of course we don't know. Again, okay,
then there we go. That's fine.
That really is.
Whether or not it makes sense to you or not, that's my point.
I'm not saying it doesn't make sense. I'm saying it's not worth.
Whether you don't think it's worthy, I do. You don't have to. That's fine. But we do agree on that. Now we can move forward.
I want to ask you this question because I want to get to the bigger point.
The bigger point.
Prove if he would pause or not. My point, I'm asking.
Of course,
you
yours this. Is bigger. Go ahead.
Let me ask you this. What did you just say?
Mine I said, of bigger. Course, yours is bigger. Your point is bigger. Go ahead.
Oh. I thought I heard something.
Slow down now. No, hey, wait a minute. Come on now. I'm not Andrew Garfield nor Michael B. Jordan.
Mike, if given that George Zimmerman got off on this trial.
There you go again.
He got acquitted on this trial. I just want to hear your answer to if Trayvon Martin had had a gun, how do you think it would have ended?
You want me to speculate?
Sure.
I speculate that Mr. Zimmerman may have been a little more cautious, and I bet you he would have said on the call that this guy's got a weapon. I bet you he would have said that. I think he would say that, and I think they really would have said, you know what, you better sit your ass down. We got police coming, and I think things would have probably may have been a little different.
No, play that out. Play that scenario out. How would it have been different? What would have happened
then? Well, again, I think it would have escalated it so that they would have had the police come out there a little quicker.
And
then they would probably say, hey, this kid has no problems. Again, they may have you could say on assumption they may have a problem with him having a gun, but I'm going to tell you how it goes down here in Washington when that happens. They let that dude walk because at the end of the day, I don't know if it's legal there, but it's legal here. So they can't really do anything. You know, the police can't do anything.
So wait, you're saying that police would come up on a black youth with a gun and they would let him go?
You have to. That's the law. There's actually really only one law here. So the law says there was a I think it was Hispanic or something dude walked into the popular mall here. At the end of the day, the shopping mall can say, hey, this is a private property. You can't be here with the gun. But the police, they didn't arrest him. Just say, man, you can't come in, man. Sorry. But it's legal here. And I don't know if it's legal there, but it's an open carry state.
Well, here's how I think it would have played out if Trayvon Martin had a gun. I think George Zimmerman would have either approached him because he was, George Zimmerman was painted as being this, you know, wannabe cop. Thought he had, you know, had the swagger and all that. He would have either approached him or let's go with your scenario. He would have stayed back. He would have called the police. The police would have been involved. He would have made a call to the police. He would have said, "We have a black youth who looks like a stranger in this neighborhood. Blah blah blah. The whole thing." The police would have been would have come out, guns drawn, right? And now this is all now. Again, not knowing how Trayvon reacted to the situation with George Zimmerman in reality, I predict that it would have gone down even worse with Trayvon being confronted with four or five squad cars of policemen, guns drawn.
Okay.
So I don't know what the gun listening to you, you're saying that the gun would have made George Zimmerman pause, which to me doesn't amount to a hill of beans because it still would have been a tragedy at the end of the day. So what's the point of having the gun?
Well, I gave you my point. Again, you're drawing a conclusion based on my assumption. I made my point.
That's a rhetorical question. I'm saying...
Well, okay. Are you asking me to answer or are you just putting
No. It's a rhetorical question. I already know what your answer is, but I'm just saying...
Well, again, okay. Then we can move forward. But what I'm saying is,
if I had the choice between telling my son, keep your ass at home at 10 o'clock,
mm-hmm.
or walk to the store because it's your right with a gun. You know, just like when the light turns red and I want to cross the street, I have a right to cross the street. But if a fool's driving 70 miles an hour through the red light, I'm not going to exercise my right because I'm going to end up dead.
But the assumption is that a fool would not be driving while you're walking on the green light.
You can keep assuming all you want to in this world.
Well, no, I mean, you would never cross the street based off the logic you just said. That doesn't make any sense.
I know. That's my point. That's why I'm saying I would not have my ass out at 10 o'clock at night walking the streets, even though it's my right.
And that's your choice. I'm not arguing that.
I don't know. Well, you said, that's horrible. That's a shame.
Well, I agree. I feel that it is horrible and shame, but you don't have to do that.
But Trayvon would still be alive today.
Well, again, we've both agreed earlier we don't know that.
If Trayvon had stayed home, he wouldn't be alive?
Oh, sure. Yeah, we do agree with that.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
So I don't see why that is something that should not be considered.
Well, it's not the actual action of it. It's the reasons why, which is which we already went in through already before.
Well, the reasons are great, but this is a fucked up world. We're just trying to stay alive in it.
Some of us are. Again, you can do it the way you want to do it. There's no right way to do it. There's just the way I choose to. I'm talking about doing it the way you want to do it. No one bigger or smaller. I just say I'm under the impression you follow leadership. Generally, that was what works. By not following leadership, you will probably be dominated over and destroyed, which is usually what is going on with black people.
That's another show, Mike.
I know, but
I don't agree with that at all. But okay.
Well, again, strong, being strong, respectful, coming swift. Usually doesn't lose. It doesn't.
I really think it's a mistake to follow any leadership. I mean,
have the leader?
If I were living in Germany in 1939, I would not want to follow Hitler.
Again, I'm not talking about being negative. I said that many times. I said be positive, strong, respectful. I don't assume we're evil, so to follow our leadership, and we pay into this. So you could say you don't follow this leadership, but you're following it by paying into it and by following along what's going on. You're following leadership. You support it. Maybe you may not think you're following it or not. I'm just saying be what it is. You follow the examples and the mentality. I think if we did, I'll wrap my part up, let you have the last word. I say that if you follow the leadership that we have, we would probably not be in the situation that, and when I say we, I say us as African-Americans, we probably would not be at the bottom if we actually followed leadership. That's my point. Well, you could have the last word, sir.
I think that's a very vague notion to follow leadership. It's you could read anything into that unless you make it clear what you're talking about in terms of, are you talking about our leadership, our constitution says we can all be armed, or is it that I'm not sure what it means. I just know that for me, I understand that this is an unfair world, and there are certain times where men have to make a stand. But I'm going to teach my kids, if a cop pulls you over or a wannabe cop pulls you over and he has a gun, that's not the place to make the stand. Make the stand in the classroom. Make the stand on your job by doing the best job you can do. Make a stand with your kids. Take care of your kids. And that's not going to guarantee you life in this world, but it makes your chances much better.
All right, there you go. You heard it, ladies and gentlemen. You've been listening to a special broadcast on Podcast Juice. Michael Dean, Q Storm. Again, check us out on podcastjuice.net. Also, you can check out Q Storm on qstorm.com/lightningstrikes. Leave us your viewpoints, and we'll see you next time. Peace.